This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
1985, I arrive.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Your girl K-Dot back on the mic. You already know how it is. Trying out something a little different here. Yeah, I am being recorded for you guys personally. You want it, you got it. You got me here in the flesh. Shout out to all the supporters, like usual. You guys are amazing. Every time I'm looking at a different country, or even at a different county, you know, where I'm from. It's a blessing. I appreciate it. This platform is really taking off. One of those things that started off as a hobby, something to do, something to just get off my chest as a typical sports fan, right? But in the world of sports, there's a lot to do, so we're going to get right to it. So, you know, I'm not really into baseball like that heavily, but I do see what's going on. And I did reach out to some baseball fans to actually see what their take on it was. Was it the owners that were at fault? Was it the players that want too much money? And then somebody actually broke it down to me exactly how much these players are getting paid. Because everybody, when they hear about professional athletes, they automatically think about the stars in proportion to exactly how many players are on a team in comparison, you know, to how many stars that actually are on the team. It just doesn't add up. So, yeah, the stars are making a lot of money. No denying that. But there are a lot of players that are not even making 100K, you know, on a professional team, having to keep up with the Joneses, you know. And not to mention injuries and everything else like that. I know, I understand that they don't get injured at a rate like NFL players do, and they have definitely a more of a longevity in their sport. But at the same time, I think they do deserve their just due. So they're going through it. Opening day was obviously canceled. I believe the first couple of series are also being canceled, so that's unfortunate. Especially someone like me that's actually just trying to get into baseball, understanding the different problems that baseball or MLB faces, right? I mean, your average fan is about 57 years old, so it makes you think 20, 30, 40 years from now, where exactly is your sport going to be? Is it going to be behind soccer? You know, or are they going to, I feel like right now in this generation, they have it's a very pivotal moment where they can choose whether they can take it in the opposite direction, appeal more to the younger fans, whether it's on the players. Because I noticed a lot of baseball players, they kind of just do what they got to do and, you know, go about their lives, which is cool. But at the same time, if you don't market yourself, you know, that's why sometimes I do get on NBA stars and NFL stars when they're like, listen, all we want to do is play ball. Well, if that's the case and nobody's really watching you and you're not marketing yourself properly, you're not going to be enjoying the salary that you're currently enjoying. Like, you're able to get the salary because fans want to watch you and they love what you do. Like the NBA, for instance, you know, they have the whole pregame fit, right? That turned into like a whole thing, you know, filming the guys coming off the buses. You know, I don't know if that's something MLB wanted, you know. We always say, like, the NFL, it's a copycat league. I think everywhere should be across all phases of professional sports. Why not? Do the same thing. Come in with your nice fits, no matter what your style is, because obviously you've seen some of these NBA guys, right? Like, some of their styles are a little out there. And granted, they're probably getting paid to do that or to wear these things. So, you know, it works. But the point is MLB needs to figure out something. Right now, I don't even know if they're, I heard they're currently negotiating, but it doesn't really sound like much of a negotiation because things are kind of at a standstill, right? So, I don't know. I hope they're able to figure things out so we can get the season started, you know. It's already getting warm out. Spring is right around the corner. That's the first thing you think about, baseball, right? But hopefully they figure it out because, honestly, I don't really know much about the specific issues that are keeping them here besides money. And maybe some of the conditions that I've heard about, but other than that, I couldn't tell you, but I do wish them the best. But in NFL news, you know, Aaron Rodgers, we still haven't heard much about him, but what I had heard from the organization, they haven't received any trade, you know, packages, like anything that could potentially, you know, favor them. But then again, I don't know if they're really floating him out there like that. I think the Packers organization made it pretty clear that they want to keep Aaron Rodgers and they're willing to do anything to keep him there. And that even means making him the highest paid player in the game, you know. There's also rumors out there, to be fair to Aaron Rodgers, that he said that he doesn't necessarily want to be the highest paid. But I guess they figure if that's what's going to keep you, they're ready to kind of double down and go all in. It's a shame, though, because there's a lot of other players that they have to take care of, right? You have to take care of Adams. I mean, I don't know where your team would be without him. I also heard about them trying to go for Godwin. So if you have all these ideas of great players that you want to try to lock up, I don't know if by making Aaron Rodgers the highest paid quarterback, you know, or person in the league, not even just quarterback, but quarterbacks are generally the highest paid, but you get where I'm going. But we'll see what happens. I mean, I guess they don't mind going above the luxury tax. Maybe that's how much they mean. Maybe they saw what the Rams did, how they were kind of all in, right? When they got everybody on board, got a bunch of star powers, and they want to build like a super team in Wisconsin. Who would have thunk it, right? But hey, you know, if that's what works, that's what works. More power to them. We'll see what happens. There's always a lot of Tom Brady talk. Bruce Arians and the organization, you know, the Bucks organization talking about we're leaving the door open for Tom. And I think a lot of people are leaving that door open, to be quite honest with you. I don't think that door is ever really shut for any of the 32 teams out there, no matter who's that starting quarterback. If you can have Tom on your team at any capacity, you know, I think you're going to take it, especially front office position. Who knows if he's done playing truly and he just wants to be involved in football. You never know where that may lead, but there's been a lot of talks. Also, let's go with Kyler Murray, speaking of quarterbacks. It is a shame because all of a sudden, you know, when it seems like whenever you're losing, right, that's when all the dirt comes out. When you're winning, that's probably the best time to do whatever, right, because nobody's going to talk about it because all they want to talk about is you winning, and at the end of the day, that's all they care about. As long as you win, we ain't got no problems. So now the way the Cardinals lost was a shame, right? Kyler Murray, he had some terrible games to end the season in the playoffs. I mean, with those turnovers, even just lapse in judgment. I mean, he can blame a lot of things off the offensive line. He wasn't being protected. I get all that. I was watching. But he definitely made, you know, a lot of crucial throws that instead of just taking the sack, I get you didn't want the safety, but you threw it to the defense and you end up getting a touchdown anyway. So, I don't know. Yeah, so, anyway, I say all that to say this. So, with the losing going on, you have now the organization leaking information about Kyler Murray's character, about how he's immature, about how he's placing the blame on everybody else and not being that team guy, you know, kind of putting the blame all on himself because, you know, the quarterbacks, you're that top dog. You're that main guy. You're the leader. You're the one that everybody else looks up to. They're the reason why they run into a wall, you know, because they believe in you. Yeah, a little any given Sunday talk, you know how I do. But for real, so that was leaked. That was a little weird. Okay, and then, of course, Kyler Murray came out and pretty much disputed the whole thing, was pretty much just saying, I've never been about that. He's always been about his teammates, his fans, yada, yada, yada. I don't understand where all this is coming from now when he's at the table after his third year, like anybody else, is looking for some security, financial security in particular. Now, he hasn't been completely transparent about how much he is looking for. He did say the fair market value. You're not exactly a free agency, so we don't really know what your fair market value is. So I don't know how fair that is, because I don't know if he's asking for 50 mil or 25 mil a season. We don't know, because he hasn't mentioned it. And then something very characteristic happened with his agent. Even his agent coming out and even detailing exactly what they were looking for in order for Kyler Murray to feel like you guys want him. And not only just want him, that he is going to be a part of your long-term plan. And that's what any quarterback would do. Because if I don't know for sure that I'm going to be a part of your plan, he's probably not going to be putting, you know, his best foot forward, so to speak. So we'll see how that plays out. I haven't really heard anything further with that. It just seems to be kind of back and forth. And by the way, the agent in that very detailed letter did not mention a price either. So it's almost like they're being detailed, but not enough to completely give us up, if you know what I mean. Because if they're gonna ask for something like $50 million, then I'm kind of with the organization on this one. I'm not sold on that. I don't know if we're sold on you yet. Not because you're not a good player. It's mainly because the height issues. We've always had that issue, right? Being able to see over the line, throw over the line. We noticed a couple of passes, you know, being blocked because of that. Not to mention the injuries, right? If you're not available, none of this even matters at this point, you know? Or if things aren't perfectly aligned for you, you're having trouble winning games. DeAndre Hopkins, for instance, when he was out, right? It was really hard for them to win games, and that's when you saw where he was exposed. So, but we'll see what's going on with that. I just thought that was a little messed up of the organization, kind of first starting out with the character flaws, and then, you know, then Kyler Murray's first, he's forced to defend himself. So, I don't know. I could see it going either way. I'm sure there's more than, you know, just these two sides of the story, because there's always the truth somewhere in there, right? The third side. But we'll see. We'll keep listening. We'll keep watching. Also, the deal with Russell Wilson. There's a couple of options. There's a couple of teams that he can go to. Speaking of quarterbacks, also Carson Wentz. there's definitely going to be some quarterbacks, Jimmy G, that are going to be in the conversation for the next couple of months, just to try to figure out where they're going to land. And that really depends on a lot. I mean, even Tannehill, the Titans, I feel like every year, the Titans are right there, defensively solid, run game, King Henry, solid, even though some people have their doubts, but, I mean, the man, you know, he has the numbers. But imagine if they were able to get a quarterback, you know, Tannehill, I mean, average. I mean, some people just like celebrating some of these quarterbacks. Like, I don't get it. I look at them. I watch the games. I don't know. It's like Carson Wentz. I don't understand. I'm stuck on when Philly decided to move on from their Super Bowl MVP, Nick Foles, because they would rather have Carlson. Because they couldn't get over the fact that they messed up their draft pick, and they wanted to try to recoup whatever they could and keep him, because that's just how they justified it. Like, no, we have to let this kid shine. And at the end of the day, they end up trading him anyway. So it was like, man, you know, imagine Nick Foles had stayed. They built him. I don't know. But even if the whole Kyler Murray Cardinals situation doesn't work out, there's plenty of other teams that he can definitely land on. You know, the Steelers need a quarterback, but you know, that might be like a Russell Wilson thing. I could see him fitting into that offense. Also, even Jimmy G, not in Pittsburgh. I don't see him in Pittsburgh, but he's also going to be available. But I don't know. If you are the 49ers, are you going to trade him, though? Are you ready to give up on him? Yes. I'm not going to sit here and say that they've won a lot of games because of him. You know, has he lost some games? But Jimmy G, he does find a way to win, though. You know, he's just one of those guys where you're just like, you never know what you're going to get. I'm thinking like Flacco. He has a championship, though. He was, you know. So I don't know. But there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks moving around this season, and it will be interesting to see where they go. The Colts are going to be looking for somebody as well, because, you know, Carson Wentz, his days are numbered there. I feel like they shouldn't even bother trying to figure that out. I mean, that's already a done deal. You can definitely put Jimmy G there, in my opinion. But then a nice little conversation came up on Facebook, because I just figured, because we're always talking about Carson Wentz, how he's had all this promise, and he has, I just feel like he's so overconfident. But at the end of the day, man, when it comes to, you know, standing in the pocket, making that perfect throw, taking a hit, Carson Wentz, he's not going to do that. I feel like he scrambles, he ends up fumbling the ball. I mean, you know, getting sacked, fumble. Just ends up being a whole mess, but we'll see. We'll see where they put him. But it, like I said, it was just a nice little conversation the other day, because we were talking about who's better, Jimmy G or Carson Wentz. I feel like that's an easy question. Just look at their winning record, right? I mean, you can get bogged down with the stats and kind of look at percentage-wise or QB rating, and you would say that Carson Wentz probably has a better QB rating than Jimmy G, and that's true. But who wins more? Jimmy G. So that's why I'm not really 100% a fan of the stats, because at the end of the day, what has those stats really have done for Carson Wentz in his career? Nothing, besides just getting that opportunity to probably play for a team, because they have that belief, that belief in you that one day you will pan out. But Jimmy G, I mean, he has the record, though. He has the winning record, which is the reason why you play the game. You play to win. You know, all those personal accolades, you know, they're cool, but I bet you anybody would tell you they're willing to make that jump in order to win. I mean, even if you want to go a couple years back with Darrell Revis, you know, Revis Island at the Jets, right? He wanted to win. He took his behind over there to New England. He got himself a ring. You have to really look at yourself and figure out what you really want. That's why when some people are just like, oh, man, Jimmy G's done with the 49ers. And I laugh at him, too, because Jimmy G is always, he's always there to add to the drama of the game. You know, he's always there. But he does win, though. He does keep you guys in contention. You're always in the conversation with the 49ers, always. So, but another good conversation was with Saquon. You know, should we as Giants fans, should we pay him? Or should we trade him? That's very difficult, because this goes back to the argument of why a lot of people never wanted to take a running back at number two. And I see why. But I think it was mainly because we didn't have a guy. And when I mean a guy, I mean a quarterback in mind. Even though that may seem silly now, but I just feel like you can't gamble like that. I feel like Saquon in that draft was probably more of the sure thing. And I'm not looking at hindsight, because hindsight does nothing for you. If you've already, the draft is already over, it's already been done. But I just mean, if you didn't know who was going to be able to run your offense, and the Giants has went through a couple of coaches, and they went through all their, you know, so they probably didn't know what system that they were running. At the end of the day, they wanted somebody that was going to be able to sell tickets, right? So you want somebody that's box office, someone that has that cachet to make people want to spend money. It is New York at the end of the day. Saquon was the smart choice, you know, because a lot of fans don't want to look at the business side of things, and I get it. I get it, because you just want to build your team for the future so that way you can be able to compete, and the hope is to end up in the Super Bowl and hopefully win it. But you have to look at the business side of things. I think we were a long way off from a Super Bowl, so nobody was thinking about that. They just said, you know what, we're not going to win, but we might as well make some money in the meantime, which makes sense to me. You know, depends on how you look at things. But now it's like injuries. Yeah, we can blame the O-line, and we definitely should blame the O-line, because if they can't make a hole, they're not running. He's not running. Where is he running to? Where? Lost fish yards every time, right? He's good in the backfield, you know. But a lot of people made that, a lot of people had him pegged early, though. I will say this. Some people did say what type of runner that he was. He's not the type of runner that's going to be able to make a difference if your O-line is not solid, if you know what I mean. So I think we should trade him. I hate to say it, but we should not pay him. Right now, we have to spend our money, our capital, right now, building our O-line. At least you guys decided to stick with Danny Dimes, right? Another mistake. But it is what it is. This is what we got. You have to at least protect the most important person on the field, which is the QB. So that's what you have to do. And also our defense. That's what it is. I hate to say it, but running backs, 3 to 5 years in their prime, A1, you know. But after that, it's just, that's when you look at the stats. Well, that's when you sit there and say, how productive were they after that 3 to 5 years? You're not going to find too many quarterbacks, too many running backs that are still productive after that window of time. So, to pay him, and then we got to be on the books for him, and have to, and then if we want to trade him after next season, nobody's taking on that. Nobody. So, if we're going to make the decision to trade him, now's the time. You got to go Bill Belichick with it. You trade him before they start declining. Because who knows? We could trade him and he may have a good season. Okay. But how many other good seasons is he really going to have at this point? I hate to say it. Like, the Giants did mess up most of his prime. You know? That's just the truth. But only time will tell with that. The Giants are a hot mess. They have a lot of things to figure out. Yes, they do have Brian Daboll. I'm hearing really good things about him, but I feel like after a while, you're going through so many coaches, the culture is constantly changing, and we'll just have to see. We'll just have to see how it pans out. You're not optimistic if you're a Giants fan. That I can tell you. But you can at least make some logical decisions to at least prepare, you know, or put you in a position to have a brighter future. Because right now, it ain't it. It's just not. But, you know, it's the off season, so we'll figure out what's going on with football. Yeah, as you know, the mock drafts are out, but not really into mock drafts because that stuff is always wrong. The guys that are usually projected to do really good is cool. The combine is going to be coming on. I still don't know how I feel about the combine. Because first of all, I don't know how much you can really get out of that. You know, I mean, when you look at Cooper Kupp's numbers in the combine, nobody would have said, oh, this is going to translate to Super Bowl MVP for sure. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Let's get him. But he is, though. You know what I mean? Even though that they were probably just sitting there talking mess about him. Better yet, they weren't even talking about him. They probably just wrote down his numbers and then just, whoop, pass it to the side. You know, nobody was really paying attention. Like, when it comes to certain things, like maybe power, strength, how you move, how quick you are, more for linebackers, you know, obviously, because a lot of these top guys, like even QBs or wide receivers, they're not even going to participate anyway. They're not either going to risk injury or they don't feel like that's what's going to help them move up in the draft any more or less. So if they feel like it can only hurt them, they're probably not going to do it. They'd rather just get ready, work out for other teams, and that's it, which makes sense too. So if you're a player and you're out there trying to figure out whether you're going to do the combine, I mean, it really depends. It really depends on where you are. If you're guaranteed first round, then yeah, you probably, or high first round, yeah, you probably don't have to worry. But if you're like, you know, maybe second, middle second, third, and yeah, you probably should be in the combine. You probably should let them know what they're missing out on. It just depends on where you stand. But anyway, we're going to switch it to a little more NBA because, you know, as you know, they're in the offseason, so, you know, they'll be all right. If anything big comes up, I'll definitely talk more about the NFL on another show. But NBA, Ja Morant, 52 points. That was pretty dope that he had his childhood friend there. Everybody knows how that must feel. Growing up with that friend, having that dream, watching you ball, whatever. And he said he was going to give his jersey to that friend when he scored 50. And look at that, 52 points. And just the miraculous way that he did it. I mean, the way he's dunking on guys, catching an out of bounds. Like, what? They must have threw that ball. Steve Adams, I think it was. I think he must have threw that ball like 92 feet. Ja Morant caught it, shot it, within like 0.4 of a second left before the half. It went in, and it was such an awkward angle, like kind of like behind the basket, like beautiful, beautiful. And it's so crazy because every week my MVP seems to change. I mean, 1 week I remember saying Steph, solid, like, you know, and then the All-Star game, right, he had 16 threes. I'm like, this guy's out of control. Then Embiid, you see what he's doing, and his numbers are only going to get better and more efficient since he's playing with James Harden. I told y'all that was going to be a good look. So at the end of the day, it's like, oh, man, you know, oh, man. It's just, and then you have Ja Morant just being consistent and just going on a tear, taking the whole, I was going to say the whole Western Conference by storm. No, he's taking the NBA by storm. He's letting y'all know. I was just mad that wasn't like a primetime game, you know, because this was just last night. And unless you had NBA TV and League Pass, I do, because I'm a junkie with this, with NBA sports. I have to watch it. Laptop, TVs, phone even. I have to know. I gots to know. Gots to. But I'm glad I didn't miss that one. Serious. But most of that damage Ja Morant did was in the first half. You know, it's just great. But it definitely goes back and forth. And then we're going to watch DeMar DeRozan again. You know, he's clutch. Missed the fourth quarter right now. You know, with the Bulls, right? Looking like MJ out there. Even though people are taking it too far with that. But I get it. It's the mid-range. It's the mid-range. Not too many people have that. You know, Devin Booker has that too. You know, there's a couple of guys that had that that mid-range. But every time I see that mid-range, I'm like, yeah, nobody do that anymore. You know, I get it, because you step a couple feet back, you're going to get an extra point versus. But I feel like that mid-range, it just makes you way more versatile. You know, it makes you, you don't necessarily have to, you got to come out to guard me. But I can come all the way, I can look, come all the way in, looking like I'm going to drive, and I can just stop and pop. You know, it just gives you that variety, which is nice with that mid-range game that they have going on. Even Embiid, man, most skilled big man. I mean, I've seen it since Hakeem Olajuwon, honestly. Embiid just need the rings. He just need the rings at this point. And I must also say the health and the longevity of playing as well, to be fair, because we can't just anoint guys because they have one great season. We're ready to already label them as a great. And the greats have been doing it for a longer period of time, right? Followed by some championship. I got you, but I'm just, it's just a mere observation of how skilled he is as a big man. You know, and don't get me wrong, the Joker, he's very, very, you know, skilled. Very skilled. But Embiid has got him. When you think about the jumper, though, when you think about the shooting ability, the range, the variety of footwork, that, because Joel can take you. I mean, he's out there maneuvering like a guard half the time. You know, what makes the Joker more dangerous, Nicolo, is that his passing ability is crazy. He's like a point guard. You know, he reminds me of like a Chris Paul, like just the way he's able to see the floor. You know, but he just does it at a much slower pace. And which I also find remarkable, because it's like the game can move however fast it wants. You're sitting there looking at the shot clock and you're like, dude, you don't have that much time to be, you know, taking your time sort of thing. But he does. He manages time appropriately. Like, best time manager in the manager in the game, because he knows how to get to his spot. And if he's going to get doubled, he already knows where the guy's supposed to be, like a point guard. Like, already knowing where everybody's supposed to be, so that way he can just deliver the ball there. And half the time he's not even looking. He just knows you're supposed to be there. So I'm going to throw the ball over there because you're supposed to be there. So, you know, awesome. NBA season has been very exciting. LaMelo Ball, too, with that step back three the other day. Whoo. He's killing him out there. He's hurting him. Right now, I feel like every time I make my list about the East and the West and who's going to be here, who's going to be top seed, who's going to be, I'm with, like, the other NBA analysts right now. I need to see what's going on with the Brooklyn Nets. I need to see what's going on with New York, whether they're going to lift the mandate or not, because that matters. It matters. It matters. Okay? Because we need to see what Ben Simmons is going to do. He said he has a sore back, so I'm like, okay. Haven't played in like 2 years, but your back is sore. I mean, I'm not judging. Maybe he does have a sore back. But I don't know what. I can't make a real judgment about who's going to win in the East until I know what the Nets are going to do. But the Nets, I feel like, need to hurry up on their chemistry on the court, not just in practice or playing one-on-one. I'm talking about on the court NBA speed, because the 76ers are up there and they're coming. Everybody keeps forgetting about the Bucks, and I think they like it that way. It's like, don't talk about us. We're coming because we're here, but don't talk about us. It's fine. They probably operate better that way with less pressure. Can't forget about Miami. Can't forget about Miami. Miami's coming. The Celtics, too. I don't think we've enjoyed basketball like this in a long time. And I'm definitely talking about the people who are not Knicks fans and who are not Lakers fans. I think I spent enough time on my last episode on those two, so I don't think I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it to you, but more importantly, I'm not going to do it to myself, because I am a Knicks fan. And it hurts. It hurts. It's annoying, you know, and it's funny because sometimes I don't really get a chance to watch ESPN often, but when I do watch it and it's like Stephen A on there or something, and he's like screaming about something or another like he usually does, and I'm just like, what is he screaming about now? And then I heard him talking about the Knicks, and I'm like, you know, a lot of people would say during this episode, oh, it's probably just Stephen A being Stephen A, but if you're a Knicks fan, you're definitely doing that. If you're not doing that, you're not a Knicks fan. Like, right? Or you've already made your peace with it and you just able to hold it all in and just live with all that toxicness in your body. Now, I let it out. So if I'm watching the Knicks, I can agree with that sentiment, like, for sure. Like, that level of enthusiasm, you know, definitely make sure there's no kids in the house, because I'll definitely be cursing. Like, it's going to be pretty bad. It's going to be pretty bad because half the time, it just don't even make any sense. That's all I can say. And I'm sure you as Lakers fans can say the same thing. It just doesn't make any sense. You want it to make sense, sure. But it does not make sense. And I already feel my blood pressure going up, so we're going to just sidestep that. But NBA season is kicking up. Let me know if you guys are into, like, DraftKings and stuff like that, because I'm starting to get into it a little bit. Just need to wait for a couple things to come into order, and I can give you a little more details about that. But also, guys, I just wanted to leave you with a little something. I hope everybody's well. The world is a little crazy. It's always been, but in these times, I think it's just time to reflect, show each other kindness. Please, don't assume that everybody knows what you know or is supposed to feel what you feel. You know, just something to think about. I'll holler at y'all later. Thanks again for the support. I'm out. Peace.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.